You know, it was, I guess, early last month, we were checking in with Ashley Kleinert. She was opening the first Bricks and Mortar Ruthie's. And one of the things about Ruthie's and the great purveyors of grilled cheese sandwiches is they've really concentrated on hiring people who've just gotten out of prison and need a break. And she's worked very closely with Christina Melton Crane, who is the former chairman of the Texas Board of Criminal Justice, but is also founder and president of CEO of Unlocking Doors. And she joined us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it.
So you're unlocking doors for people who've been incarcerated and are looking for a job. But let me remind me. So is it a chicken or an egg? Were you chairman of the criminal justice system before this or after this?
So I was chairman before this, and it actually illustrated for me what needed to really take place in our community. We were not doing a good job of really preparing people for when they do exit and transition from prison into the free world, to make sure that they're equipped to get a job, to get housing, to move forward with a life that's crime free. And so I took it upon myself to form Unlocking Doors. We're now 16 years old. And what we do is very unique. There are a lot of organizations out there that work with former offenders. But we are not the service provider. We actually partner with all the service providers, the employers, the folks that are going to provide whatever the needs are that the individual has. And then we do a high level assessment to determine those needs. We then refer them for those needs to be met. And then we do a very rigorous monitoring to make sure that that person is getting what they need, they're progressing appropriately, that sort of thing.
So is that, wait a minute, let me understand. So you're supported by the providers. Who are we talking about? Give me an example.
So we're talking about everybody from employers to housing to transportation, substance abuse treatment, medical, mental health, whatever those needs are that the individual has, we partner with those organizations that provide those services.
But that would make it easier then. So because I was wondering, I say, well, it's one thing to prepare people coming out of prison to reenter life and, you know, be citizens. But it's another to find somebody to hire them and to take a chance. But so you've actually got companies that want to hire them. They just want you to prepare them and vet them.
That's right. Take you back 25, 30 years ago, it was very hard to get employers to open their doors really think about, you know, not worrying about liability, not worrying about, you know, their criminal justice guidelines, the HR implements of this. And after COVID, things sort of changed. All of a sudden, we had this labor shortage. And, you know, companies still had to run and they still had to exist. Yeah. And so all of a sudden we started having employers come to us instead of us going to them. And it really has made a tremendous difference for our clientele. What we do with an employer who comes to us and says they're background friendly is we have them fill out a talent profile that actually explains every kind of job they have available, everything about their company, and then what kind of client they're willing to take. So whether that's nonviolent only, some violent, no sex offenders, that sort of thing, then we can vet the employer's needs against our client base so that when we're referring somebody over, it's going to really meet the needs that that employer has.
Is this a local phenomenon? I mean, is this going on around the country? Because, I mean, this makes entirely too much sense.
Isn't that the truth? I know it's really simple when you think about it. There are definitely pockets across the United States where people are trying different things with employers. I can't speak to whether other people are or other organizations are using it, the exact model that we're using, but I think locally we are very unique. In Texas, for sure, we are very unique. The way that we go about our overall model in doing the high-level assessment, doing the monitoring, doing the referral is absolutely very unique. We actually have trademarked our model and trademarked our brand. Simply because it is rare. And so we took it upon ourselves to kind of treat the organization like a business.
Sure, as well you should. So the jobs, I mean, is it minimum wage, or is this something where you could actually make a decent living?
Oh, it's everything from what we call the transitional job, which would be working maybe as a waiter someplace, all the way up to, we've got people making six figures.
Really?
If you've actually been fortunate enough to be able to acquire a license for plumbing, electrical, HVAC, facilities maintenance, cosmetology, you already are looking at initially, a five-figure job. And then if you do better, you get with the right company, you've got the right mentor. We've got some people making six figures.
Is there any of this training going on in the criminal justice system so that people can come out with a license? Or
Yes. They've started doing really rigorous training, especially at the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. And across the country, they're doing this too. You'll recall the First Step Act that went through, was enacted by Congress during President Trump's first term as president. It actually calls for federal government to actually, and the DOJ, to actually spend money on training while incarcerated. Now, that's the federal system. But our state system here in Texas specifically has put a lot of dollars towards training while incarcerated. About 20 years ago, actually, the Texas legislature actually mandated that Texas tax dollars be used to help train individuals while incarcerated on license-type jobs, just the jobs I mentioned, HVAC, electrical, plumbing. And we found a little kind of break in the system, which was you've got to match up if you've used tax dollars to actually train those people when they get out and go sit for that license. You've got to make sure that they can actually do that. So we realized a number of years back that the criminal justice guidelines at the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulatory Services, who oversees those licenses, actually didn't allow certain criminals, certain inmates, to actually sit for crimes based on, what they were sentenced for and that sort of thing. And so what we did was we're working with the legislature to try to get those guidelines reduced. We also are making sure that somebody is, that the two agencies are communicating. So when somebody does get out, they can actually sit for that exam and earn a good, decent living wage.
This is all very encouraging because the only thing I hear about the criminal justice system is negative. And they wouldn't even buy air conditioning for some of these, some of these facilities in South Texas where it gets to be 100 degrees in the summertime.
Sure. And there's a lot of good things going on. And the employment piece is far and foremost the number one thing that's positive. Because at the end of the day, the job that somebody gets is going to narrate their future.
Oh, sure.
Now, they need other things too.
And recidivism, and they won't be back. So are you operating, you're based here. I know you're over on Greenville Avenue. You're based here, but do you operate all over the state?
What we do is we have our headquarters in Dallas. We have a couple of spaces that we co-share in Tarrant County. So we are operating full force across North Texas. And then for other individuals throughout the state that might want help with a referral, that sort of thing, they can contact us. We will get them set up locally wherever they live, whether it's Houston, San Antonio, Austin, with an organization that isn't ours, but can help them.
So it's interesting. So COVID really, you've been around for 16 years, but it was 5 years ago, I guess, that the real shot in the arm came and all of a sudden there was acceptance for the product that you're providing.
Yes, that's exactly right. I think employers really had to take a hard look at their workforce. And where are we going to get the people to do the jobs? Either we're going to have to do a reduction in force and close down, especially like warehouses and shops or whatever it is, or we need to rethink this. And I love the fact that they rethought it. Our clients have definitely benefited from that. So I guess that's something great that came out of the pandemic.
So do you track your clients all the way through? Because if they're off making six figures, they're probably not visiting with you anymore.
So Once you're a client, you're always a client. We kind of take the approach that at some point you're going to probably need us, whether that is just to share something great that's happened, or maybe all of a sudden you've lost your apartment, girlfriend's kicked you out, something's happened to where you're going to need an additional assistance with some need. And so we kind of look at it like it's your doctor. You know, you go to your doctor, you're always a patient of your doctor. You don't always need your doctor. But when you do need the doctor is there for you. And so what we've done is build a rapport with these folks, which typically when someone comes out of prison or they're involved in the criminal justice system, they are very untrusting individuals. And so when we've built a rapport with them, we're like part of their family. They trust us. They understand we're there to help them. We treat them with respect, which has typically not been the way they've been treated. And so it makes a big difference. So even that guy that's making six figures, at some point, he's going to probably need something, even if it's just some encouragement. So we're there for him.
And it's good to know that you're still doing the good work and growing, and it's good to catch up again. Christina Melton Crane is founder, president, and CEO of Unlocking Doors. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. For more of our conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.